ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। We are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, Text 37. Sattvam Rajatama Iti Trivrid Ekam Adau सूत्रं महान् अहम् इति प्रवदन्ति जीवम्। ज्ञानक्रियार्थफलरूपतयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सद् असच्च तयो परं यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृदेकमादौ सूत्रं महानहमिति प्रवदन्ति जीवम्। ज्ञानक्रियार्थफलं रूप तयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सदसच्च तयो परं यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृदेकमादौ सूत्रं महानहमिति प्रवदन्ति जीवम्। ज्ञानक्रियार्थफलं रूप तयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सदसच्च तयो परं यत् Mataji's Sat, okay. Thank you. Sattvam, goodness. Rajaha, passion. Tamaha, and ignorance. Iti, thus known. Trivrit, threefold. Ekam, one. Adau, in the beginning, before creation. Sutram, the power to act. Mahan, the power of consciousness. Aham, and the false ego. Iti, thus, Pravadanti, is called. Jivam, false ego which covers the living entity. Jnana, the demigods as the embodiment of knowledge. Kriya, the senses. Artha, the sense objects. Phala, and fruitive results, such as happiness and distress. Rupataya, assuming the forms. Uru Shakti, possessing great varieties of energy. Brahma Eva, the supreme alone. Bhati, is manifest. Sat Asatcha, as both gross objects and their subtle causes. Tayoho, both. Param, beyond. Yat, which is. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Originally one, the absolute, Brahma, comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Brahma further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness becomes manifest along with the false ego, which covers the identity of the conditioned living being. Thus, by the expansion of the multipotences of the absolute, the demigods as the embodiment of knowledge become manifest along with the material senses, their objects and the results of material activity, namely happiness and distress. In this way, the manifestation of the material world takes place as a subtle cause and as the material effect visible in the appearance of gross material objects. Brahman, which is the source of all subtle and gross manifestations, is simultaneously transcendental to them, being absolute. We have already discussed the first part of the purport, and today we are discussing the second part, which starts from the third paragraph, which starts with "the question may be raised." I'll recite the prayers, and then we will, because it's two-page purport, we will go portion by portion, because we will take few lines at a time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Ste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the purport starts like this. The question may be raised. Since Brahman is stated to be Ekam or One, how does it become manifest in innumerable varieties of material world?
Therefore, this verse uses the word Urushakti. The absolute contains multipotences. As stated in the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The absolute truth is not Shakti or energy, but Shaktiman. The possessor of innumerable potences. According to Sridhar Swami, one should submissively hear these descriptions of the absolute truth. As stated in the previous verse, Yatha Nalam Archishaswada, insignificant sparks of a fire have no power to illuminate the blazing fire, which is itself the source of illumination. Similarly, the teeny living entity who is like a spark of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot illuminate the personality of Godhead by his insignificant intellectual power. One may argue that the sun expands its potency in the form of its rays, and it is through the illumination of those rays we are able to see the sun. In the same way, we should be able to perceive the absolute truth by the expansion of its potency. In answer to this, it may be stated that if the sun creates a cloud covering the sky, then despite the presence of sun rays, the sun cannot be seen. Therefore, ultimately the power to see the sun depends not only on the sun's rays, but on the presence of a clear sky, which is also an arrangement of the sun. Similarly, as stated in this verse, one can understand the existence of the absolute truth by the expansion of its potencies. So here the concept is that Brahman is said to be Ekam. How does it manifest in innumerable varieties? In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narad Muni, on his journey, on his travel tours, searching for the best devotee who has received the most mercy of Sri Krishna, the maximum mercy, he goes to Hanumanji. He goes to Lord Shiva, Brahmaji, Shivaj, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, and Hanumanji. And when he goes to Hanumanji, he says that, actually when he reaches Kim Purusha Loka and he reaches Hanumanji, Hanumanji is worshipping his deity of Lord Ram. And he is worshipping with great love, with great devotion, singing, dancing. Narad Muni comes playing his veena, and Narad Muni, immediately seeing, trying to match with the mood of Hanumanji, starts chanting the names of Lord Ram. Jai Raghunandan, Jai Sita Ram, he starts chanting like that. And Hanumanji, when he sees another devotee joining in the kirtan of Lord Ram, he gets very ecstatic. He picks up his kartals, and Narad Muni has a veena, kartal is there, musical instruments are ready, dancers are ready, singers are ready. Narad Muni is singing and Hanumanji starts dancing. And then the dance becomes uncontrollable. Narad Muni is dancing, Hanumanji is dancing. And in the dance, Narad Muni is singing the glories of Lord Ram all the more ecstatically. Especially when you get a partner, like I was in one program and one devotee was constantly looking at one particular devotee and giving class. And I asked him, did you miss out all the other audience? Why you were constantly looking at this devotee? He said, because this devotee was responding so enthusiastically in the class, I was getting all my encouragement from this devotee only. So he kept on looking at that devotee because he was constantly going like this. So naturally it gives encouragement. So Hanumanji sees Narad Muni joining in the kirtan of Lord Ram, they start dancing. And after all the glories of the Ram, then he says, Hanumanji, you are the best recipient of the mercy of Lord Krishna. And immediately Hanumanji's dance stops. And his kartal stops. And immediately he sits down, he head bows down in embarrassment. And then he says, I mean, it's a long story, I will just go quickly to the point. Says, I am not the best devotee, Pandavas are the best devotee. He says, I served Lord Ram with all the refined, perfect etiquettes in the mood of a servant. And I served Lord Ram with such great, I mean, love, but at the same time, I would say, he said, with taking care of all the etiquettes as a servant. But Lord Ram, in the mood of Lord Krishna, serves Pandavas as a perfect servant. He becomes their messenger, he becomes their watchman, he becomes their charioteer, and he deals with them all intimate ways. In one sense, Pandavas control Krishna, the same Krishna as Ram who controlled me as a servant. So Pandavas are better. Now Narada Muni just wants to hear somebody's glories. He just wants to hear who is the best glories. So Hanumanji is explaining in detail about Pandava's glories. And Hanumanji is giving his own lecture, and suddenly Narada Muni starts dancing. And Narada Muni dancing, Hanuman dances more, Hanuman starts jumping. Narada Muni is dancing, Hanuman is jumping. And Hanuman gets so much in ecstasy, Hanumanji says, let's go to Dwarka, let's go to Hastinapur and meet the Pandavas. And Narada Muni says, let's go. So Hanumanji and Narada Muni both join. Let us go to Hastinapur. And both are eager, and Hanumanji forgets what he was doing. He was worshipping Lord Ram. He gets so ecstatic. And in this ecstasy, when they are going, they start rushing to immediately Hanumanji stops. Narada Muni goes further, Hanumanji stops. And Narada Muni looks back, Hanumanji is not coming. The point which we are discussing here is that here it is mentioned Brahman become manifest in innumerable varieties. Even Supreme Lord manifests in innumerable varieties, even in the spiritual realm. And Hanumanji immediately stops. And Hanumanji says, no, no, I cannot go. You go. And Narada Muni wonder, just now you were too ecstatic. You said, I mean, he was the first one who decided I will join. Because Narada Muni in his further journey, nobody decided to join him. Lord Shiva never decided, Brahmaji never, but Hanumanji said, I will join you. And Narada Muni became ecstatic to get a partner, traveling partner and kirtan and join. Hanumanji said, I cannot go. Hanumanji said, because Lord Krishna, Lord Ram has a completely different bhav. He's such a simple Lord. He has only one wife. He's honest. He's truthful. He always follows all the rules, all the conduct properly. But Krishna is all bewildering. And I can't see Krishna. If I see Krishna, I will start offending Krishna in my mind. I will not be able to digest that mood which Krishna with the same Lord is manifesting as Sri Krishna. Because he has seen Lord Ram has one wife and Krishna has so many wives. And everything bewildering which he does in Vrindavan and battlefield of Kurukshetra, which people point finger at. He says, no, no, you only go. And Hanumanji also understands the different bhava of devotees. As Krishna has bhava and Pandavas also have different bhava. And Hanumanji says, so Narada Muni is about to jump or proceed on his journey. And Hanumanji says, wait a minute, I have a warning. He says, look, you are a brahmachari and I am a brahmachari. You are celibate, I am celibate. We have no understanding of how Pandavas, as perfect devotees, live in a kingdom. Amidst all the opulences, amidst all the political affairs, and in spite of all that, they are the perfect devotees of Sri Krishna. And devotional service manifests in multiple flavors. Please do not get bewildered. He cautions, do not get bewildered after seeing Pandavas. So then Srila Sridhar Swami says, one should submissively hear these authorized descriptions of absolute truth. On one side, your Hanumanji is talking about getting bewildered by Krishna or by the bhava of Pandavas. And what to speak of various other pastimes. Like yesterday I was with one person, and he was telling, I am reading Mahabharata and I am getting bewildered. How can Draupadi, who can be a devotee, can have five husbands? Such an immoral act. And he says, I am not going to read all these Puranic stories. They are just bogus. Not bogus. He didn't say bogus actually. He says, it just bewilders me. It confuses me. I said, that's why we need Guru. That's why we need something who can show, like here, one should submissively hear the authorized descriptions. Otherwise, one may get bewildered. I said, therefore, one need Guru. So he was an elderly gentleman and he said, No, I do not understand all this. This is too confusing. I just know simple. Let me chant the name of Lord Ram. He's a Ram Hanuman devotee, Ram's devotee. And I just pray. You know, he was reading that. There's a small book available, I think from Gita Press Gorakhpur or somewhere it is available. This book says, Hey Nath, main tujhe bhulu nahi. Something like that. A small booklet. He was showing me. And the whole booklet is just filled up with, Hey Nath, main tujhe bhulu nahi. He Nath, main tujhe bhulu nahi. And he was such an elderly gentleman. I said, what can I tell him the philosophy? I said, fine. You just chant and pray. He Nath, main tujhe bhulu nahi. Simple hearted man. I said, what can we teach philosophy? But he said, I am just getting bewildered. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to West and came back to Vrindavan and he was welcomed by all the chief of the that place there of the town, all the chief had assembled. And Prabhupada is addressing them. And in his addressal, when he's speaking to all this assembled chief guest, all the worshipable people, or all the chief society people, whoever they were, maybe the mayor and other people were there. And he's addressing them, explaining. Now they have not asked any question. But he knows in his heart what kind of hesitations they would be having to accept his Western disciples. Very difficult to accept. He knows that in his mind that there are many people who are fixed in the caste culture, in the caste Goswami culture or in the Goswami lineage. And they would not be able to accept, here I have Western men and women chanting Hare Krishna, having Diksha, going to worship deities. Multiple flavors. They have never seen this variety. They were understanding, okay, our lineage, where all the six Goswamis appointed some priests and their lineage is going to worship the deities. And they will be the accepted Vaishnavas and the guide. And here somebody who apparently from low class, from their perspective, they cannot open their mindset to this whole new variety, new dimension of preaching. So when they cannot open this whole new dimension of preaching, Prabhupada is giving a lecture, Prabhupada is addressing them. Addressing all the misconceptions which they could be having, and he is very humbly explaining them that how, if I correctly remember some parts of it, he says, how in America it was just so difficult because boys and girls all mixed together. And we have to understand the kind of culture into which we are preaching. To understand the kind of dimension which I have taken to involve them into Vaishnava systems or rituals. And he's giving a very, you can see if you study that lecture, you will find every line he's kind of giving a clarification of what they might not understand. What they will not understand. They will not be able to understand this variety or this dimension of preaching. And therefore we see whenever, I'm just taking this word, innumerable varieties. Manifesting in innumerable varieties. And I'm just expanding a little bit on that. And if you see Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at his time when he was preaching, he took to some revolutionary ways people did not understand. Then his disciple, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, when he took to revolutionary ways, people of his level could not understand suddenly these innumerable varieties. It says the insignificant sparks of a fire have no power to illuminate the blazing fire, which is itself the source of illumination. Similarly, the tiny living entity who is like a spark cannot illuminate by his insignificant intellectual power. And therefore, this man who is talking to me about Draupadi, he's telling that even if I gave several arguments, he said, even if you give all these arguments, how will you explain to a young atheist university boy? How will you explain? I said, yeah, your point is valid. In spite of all the arguments, it's just difficult to explain unless a person has the required piety or submissiveness. It's just difficult to explain. With the right attitude, is not there. So first create the right attitude, then you explain. Otherwise, you can't. You just can't argue based on philosophy. Because it says you cannot illuminate by insignificant intellectual power. One has to have certain level of sukriti. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam chaturvida bhajante mam. What is that? Jana sukriti no Arjuna. Some sukriti needs to be there. You cannot. Therefore we hear in Delhi, Srila Prabhupada on this, 7 or 9 days, Pandal Katha is going on. And suddenly in the middle of Katha, the hippie walks right on the stage. And he gives him a place on the Vyasasana. People want to just drive him off. He says, come and sit here. They give him a cushion, a mic. Prabhupada gives a mic to him. And he challenges, Swamiji, have you realized your inner self? And he never expected a yes. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And suddenly he was taken aback. Like so many people come and ask, have you seen God? And sometimes we as preachers are not sure. And what are we supposed to answer immediately? They are expecting a yes. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. Okay, my next question. Swamiji, when was Bhagavad Gita spoken? You said 5,000 years ago, but other teachers say 1,500 years ago. Prabhupada says, no, first you answer my question. He says, no, but I ask you question first. Swamiji says, you answer my question. My question is, what is the right way to approach and ask question to a spiritual authority? He says, no, you answer my question. Swamiji says, no, I ask question, you answer my question. And there's no answer coming, and this whole thing starts in front of so many new people who are there. I think it's 20,000 people, and 7 lakh people came through the whole several days of the Katha. And there's 20,000 people, and somebody who helped to erect that whole pandal, and somebody who sponsored, somebody who helped to get the permission. They are all talking to Prabhupada's disciples. What is your Swamiji doing? Why is he losing anger? Why just can't answer the question? And Srila Prabhupada just before that had given a talk how to approach a spiritual authority. What is the right mood of submissiveness and humility? And now after giving a talk, Srila Prabhupada wanted to do a presentation on that. Looks like that. And even the disciples are getting bewildered. Why Swamiji is just spoiling the whole impression in front of all these audience? You are the word Prabhu and Bhavanand Prabhu and who? Different devotees are there. They are all getting bewildered. And then Srila Prabhupada says later on, I guess to Yadubar Prabhu or someone, he says, just like gopis got lusty for Krishna, devotee gets angry for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that he was trying to teach. And then out of 20,000, few people actually got up and left. And Srila Prabhupada did not worry for that. He was so rooted in what he is trying to show. Few got up and left and few kept sitting who were... So the point is, it's not just intellectual dynamics. There has to be inner attitude and certain level of purity or sukriti to actually accept. Not everyone will accept. And there's another thing I was just reading about Srila Prabhupada's in this is in Melbourne. There's another this thing where we see how one cannot illuminate personality of Godhead by insignificant intellectual power. Even Prabhupada says here, sorry, in this purport it is written, if the sun creates a cloud covering the sky, then despite the presence of sun rays, sun cannot be seen. You see the sun through sun rays, and the same sun covers the cloud, and the same cloud covers our vision. So here we have Lord's one potency Mahamaya, and one potency Yogamaya. And Mahapaya completely covers the living entity under illusion. Therefore, ultimately the power to see the sun depends not only on the sun rays, but on the presence of a clear sky, which is also an arrangement of the sun. By the mercy of sun, you get a clear sky. Similarly, as stated in this verse, one cannot understand the existence of absolute truth by the, one can understand the existence of absolute truth by the expansion of its potency. This incident in Melbourne, I just read through a few lines because there's too many details to remember. Again, it was a large free admission audience of students. And again, the disciples had prepared a standard Vyas Asana. Devotees held a kirtan on stage and introduced Srila Prabhupada, who began speaking very basically about the distinction between the soul and the body. And about how this education is required for all people. Basic thing. But after no more than 10 minutes, a young man in the audience stood up and began to shout profanities at Srila Prabhupada. And how do you explain your Rolls Royce? He added. The audience, which had been quiet until the interruption, now became noisy and restless. And three of Srila Prabhupada's more aggressive disciples left the front row, went to the back where man was shouting. Meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada stopped speaking and sat tolerantly, waiting. The shouting stopped and he began again. As I was explaining, in material life, we have been changing from one body to another. This is not a very good condition of life. Nobody wants to die, but he is forced to die. 5 minutes later, the abusive language again broke out. This time, Srila Prabhupada's three disciples pushed the shouters out the back door. In the fight, one of the students pulled a knife from his boot, but a devotee disarmed him. The atmosphere inside the auditorium was intense, and many people were talking loudly. Some got up and leave. Madhu Dvisha Swami, taking the microphone, pleaded the students to remain calm and continue hearing. Some students in the audience seemed on the verge of violence and devotees feared for Prabhupada's safety. But Prabhupada was willing to continue. He called for questions. First student asked the question. I am a Christian. I would like to know what is your opinion of Jesus Christ. Srila Prabhupada. We respect Jesus Christ as you do because he is a representative of God, son of God. We are also speaking of God. So we respect him with our greatest veneration. Caution. You are a son of Jesus too? Yes, I am a servant of Jesus. I do not say I am Jesus. Caution. I want to know if you have the power of Jesus. No, I have no power of Jesus. Well, I have got the power of Jesus. And everyone starts laughing. Because I am a Christian. Srila Prabhupada. That's alright. You are Christian. But we are Krishninian. It's practically the same thing. Everybody laughs and applauds. Student. I have one another question. I believe Jesus is coming back and not Krishna. What are you guys going to do when Jesus comes back? Or when you see Jesus? And everybody starts laughing. Srila Prabhupada. When he is coming, welcome, we shall welcome. It is very good news that Jesus is coming. Student says, Jesus had no reputation. He wore sandals and was crucified between two thieves. And your spirituality is on Rolls Royce and a padded seat. And you are all into money, you Krishnas, you want money. Srila Prabhupada, I do not want money. Student, and you say violence is violence, that's what you believe. Jesus turned the other cheek and he expected his followers to. Big applause. Srila Prabhupada, This Krishna consciousness movement is not a sentimental religious system. It is science and philosophy. Prabhupada explained that understanding the science of God was transcendental to Christianity or Hinduism. The real goal was to learn the love of God. And the second student says, but Krishnamurti says that when you come to West, in West you should not use big Vyas asana like the you are using. And you should not use the dress of a monk. Prabhupada says, actually a God conscious person is neither a Westerner or a Easterner. So anywhere the devotee goes, as they receive him, he accepts. These devotees have arranged a raised seat, so I am accepting the raised seat. If they wanted me to sit on the floor, I would have gladly accepted. I have no objection to this or that. And further down, another student asked loudly, this is like the final part of the conversation. He says, do you consider your movement the major form of enlightenment emanating from United States today? This is in Australia, Melbourne. What particular role does your movement play in the White House Psychological Warfare Department? I mean, Prabhupada is talking about body and soul, and what are they going to understand? Who is understanding? So, the kind of crowd he is dealing with, look at their standard, what's happening out there. So then he says, so we are talking about cloud and sun. Sun rays, but the cloud is covering, you can't see. Will you be coming to our 4th of July demonstration against the United States this year and take up the real political issues? Again, many students began shouting. Madhu Dvisha Swami took the microphone and he said, I can answer if you like. Our movement is not from United States. If you have some paranoia about that everything is coming from United States, well, that is your hang-up, not mine. And everyone starts. Applause. And second of all, our spiritual master came to United States because he got a free ticket on the boat to go there. If you would have sent a free ticket, he would have probably come to Australia first. So he is trying to spread love of God. He is not trying to start any kind of political movement. He is trying to spark a revolutionary consciousness. And I think you are also interested in revolution. We are interested in revolution also. But we are interested in revolution which will help people to feel peace themselves. Whether they are communist or Marxist or whatever it is you like. We are trying to help people attain happiness. Madhu Dvisha Swami's remarks triggered the largest vocal protest yet. The commotion rose as students all over the hall began to shout, there was no possibility of a peaceful philosophical discussion. Prabhupada rose from Vyasasana, left. Prabhupada riding in the car was mostly silent. Oh yeah, before that, when the car was going, a cluster of students, a girl kicked at the car with her booted foot. And as the devotees were getting into their vans, students threw stones. Finally, as the devotees drove off the campus, they had to pass under an elevated walkway where some waiting students threw black paint down onto the vans. Prabhupada said in the future, he would only give lectures in classes where he was invited. No more wide open lectures. So just a small pastime on a small incidents. Where this purport says, if the sun creates a cloud covering the sky, then despite the presence of sun rays, the sun cannot be seen. Therefore, ultimately, the power to see the sun depends not only on the sun rays, but on the presence of a clear sky. And then, one can understand the existence of absolute truth by expansion of its potences. Hmm. by the expansion of his potences. That's another good thing. How one can see the existence of absolute truth. Like we were hearing Lord Krishna's birth pastimes in Mathura. And how just by seeing Devaki's illumination, Devaki's beauty, even comes to understand now Lord Vishnu is residing here. Like we read about this pastime in Journey Home about the Sitaram Baba. And how this Baba is so austere. I mean, still I could not believe. I mean, I don't know how many 30, 40 or 50 something years, he did not sit. He was standing all the time. What kind of tapasya was that? And he was carrying on which he would hang himself on a tree and just stand. The point here which I am mentioning, so there Radhanath Maharaj writes in that place that he was watching that how there are different kind of people who worship the absolute truth as formless and who worship the personal form as the supreme. And I think he asked Sitaram Baba, is that right? Anybody? I think that he questions to him that what is your understanding? Some says impersonal, some says personal. And he says that how can Lord have something less than what you have? Something like that. How can Lord have something less than what you have? And we also have same arguments we give. Then you say Lord has no form, but Lord has everything which you have plus something beyond. Right? So Lord has, if we have form, then Lord also has form. You can see the absolute truth by the expansion of his potences. If we have form, Lord also must be having form, but his form is transcendental. Somewhere further it comes on the transcendental form. But then another thing, you can see how the Supreme Lord is existing in anyone's heart. The kind of compassion, gratitude and good qualities exhibited by that person. The kind of love, forgiveness and all the Vaishnava qualities exhibited. Because it is very clearly mentioned. You can see the absolute truth by the expansion of its potences. Of course, basic, we always go, look at this flower. If the flower is so beautiful, how beautiful must be the creator of the flower? We start from something basic like that. But then when we say a devotee of the Lord, and we say this devotee is so beautiful, who is worshipping Lord, how beautiful must the Lord be in his qualities? And therefore one who is carrying the Lord in the heart, what is that verse? So, bhajan, no? Eibara karuna karo, tomara hridaya. Anybody knows? Tomara hridaya sada, govinda vishram. Tomara hridaya sada govinda vishram, govinda kahe mora vaishnava pran. So then I was again going back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita to elaborate this point that how somebody who is carrying Lord in the heart, he just becomes so beautiful by his qualities. A few examples I noticed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita which strike to me at least very much. Now the literature, the first volume especially, you see, it's all about glorifying each other. It's all about you are the best devotee. And Narad Muni in his journey, he is going from one Brahman in the Prayag to one king in the south, from there to Lord Brahma. And everybody is telling, I am not the best devotee, Lord Brahma is the best devotee. And why I am thinking about speaking this pastime a lot, I am just liking to speak a lot because it's so difficult to say that somebody is better than myself. It's just the most difficult thing to accept for the false ego. And to rejoice like Narada was Hanuman is glorifying Pandavas, like Narada is glorifying Hanuman, you are the best. So maybe Narada, from a conditioned mind, if you see, could have accepted, could have expected that if I say Hanuman, you are the best, Hanuman could have said, no, Narada Muni, you are the best. So Narada is telling Hanuman, you are the best, and Hanuman is telling somebody else is the best. He doesn't even say, Narada, you are the best. And I'm honestly telling, I was thinking from my perspective, if I tell somebody is the best, I would expect him to tell that you are the best. I mean, it would be difficult to say somebody else is the best. And there we see those people who are really carrying Lord in the heart, how it is just so spontaneous to offer glorification to somebody else. Like Srila Prabhupada in the Kumbh Mela, he was told to, I think, ride on the what, elephant or the chariot, something. Elephants. And he said, deities will be there. Oh, Lord will be there, not me. And it was just so spontaneous. Otherwise, seeing the mood there, he could have accepted. All the acharyas are there, I should also be there on the top. And not that he adjusted, it was just so spontaneous to say, no, Lord gets the credit. Narad Muni goes to Brahmaji, and he says, Brahmaji, you have such a big lifespan. And I like that point. I said, wow. Sometimes you feel like having a body in which you can have unlimited seva. You can have unlimited seva, unlimited, I mean, everything you can do. Like, I'm sure some of you are tired after yesterday and you're still sitting and patiently hearing my gratitude for that. But just that, sometimes you can, sitting in the class, then you get tired. I mean, how long it will go on? But then you want, okay, if I have a body, unlimited katha I can hear, unlimited kirtans I can have, unlimited seva. He's telling, Brahmaji, you have unlimited lifespan. And I was wondering, look, who is telling Brahmaji? No, Brahmaji, no doubt, has an unlimited lifespan, but still his lifespan ends. And Brahmaji also says in return, I am fearful, my life will end. And I am thinking, Narad Muni is telling Brahmaji, who has eternal lifespan. He is a liberated spaceman. His life never ends. He is telling, you have this thing. On one side, he is son of Brahmaji, but he is liberated. And he doesn't even have any responsibilities like Brahmaji. He is doing singing katha everywhere. He is having no managing, not political affairs, you know. Like Prahlad says, I am managing all the political affairs. Narad is all blissful. He could have told Brahma, the poor guy caught up in the management. And Narad Muni is seeing all good in Brahmaji. And Brahmaji immediately says, go to Lord Shiva. There are many details to that. And then he says, Lord Shiva, he's like Krishna only. And Narad Muni starts chanting, oh Shiva, oh Krishna. He starts glorifying Shiva, Krishna. He's like Krishna only. And Shivji is five-headed Shivji. I don't know how many. He must be having 10 ears or something. He closes all his ears. And he just feels disgusted. I mean, however humble, at least I can say myself, I will not judge anyone. But however humble we may act, I mean, that feeling never came that closed the ears. I mean, we want to have 10 ears to hear our glorification. We don't want to close our ears. In fact, if we miss out our glorification, we want to ask, hey, what did you say? Please say again. I'm sure some of you would have that experience. It just, and sometimes it's heartbreaking if you miss out your glorification. So I'm not saying after the class start glorifying me, but here we are discussing this whole thing, you know. And Shivji is shutting off his ears. One can see the presence of absolute truth by his potences, by his qualities manifested out there. And Shivji says, and Shivji gets furious. We may act furious. Shivji gets so furious, Narad Muni sits down. And Lord Shiva sits in the Virasan posture. And he is grave and he is looking. And Narad Muni is all trembling. What's going to happen now? So he changes his glorification. First he said, you are like Krishna. Then he says, oh, you are the best of Vaishnavas. He thinks, let me mile down. Then at least Shiva will cool down. I am glorifying as his devotee. And Lord Shiva is still furious. And then they start glorifying each other. Even Lord Shiva and Vishnu's glorification of each other. Even if people fight, you know, Shaivites are better or Vaishnavas are better. But look at mutually what's happening among them. There is all glorification happening. There is somewhere, I think in one translation it is mentioned, Shiva is like second form of Krishna. I like that translation because there is not much conflict out there. And Lord Shiva is telling, Narad Muni is telling, do you remember your associate? Oh, yeah, so, something like that. Lord Shiva says, what are you glorifying me? Look at my associates, Banasur. Krishna had to personally come and fight with him. All the benedictions I give create so many problems. Look at Ravan, I give benedictions. How many problems that create? For Krishna, for his devotees. Same thing Brahmaji had told. And Narad Muni says, no, look at like this. although you gave benediction and Krishna fought with Banasura, but Krishna gave Banasura a four-handed form just like him to be your associate because he has mercy on you. I mean, if somebody would tell me, associate was punished or something, I would not be able to find the glorification within that also. And Narad Muni says, four-armed form he got. Then he says, I give so many benedictions. Then Narad Muni says, each of your benediction had a loophole. Your benediction had a loophole. Because you knew that somehow Krishna will kill or punish this demon. Like I think one benediction he gave was to Jayadrath. He will defeat Pandavas at least once, the four of the Pandavas. And therefore he could fight with Arjun. And then he goes to Prahlad. That is even much more sweeter. Lord Shiva says, not me, go to Prahlad. He is the best devotee. And he tells Prahlad, the best characteristic of yours, one of the best, is when Hiranyakashipu punished you, he put you into the snakes, you did not have slightest of the fear. Again, coming to the point of cloud. Here, he refers to cloud as the internal potency of the Lord. He says, it is not my glory that I was fearless. I mean, anybody would feel like highly flattered. Yes, I was amidst snakes, but not fearful. He says, it is not my glory which made me fearless because I was covered by the internal potency of the Lord. It is the glory of the internal potency of the Lord which made me fearless. And then he said, but what about the preaching which you were doing to all the children? And what about the ecstatic symptoms of singing and dancing which you were exhibiting? He said, even neophyte people also sing and dance because they are told by their spiritual master. And then he says, I was told to preach to those children because great souls do not come to preach to children. They send somebody childlike to send to children. And he says, even if you have seen some great devotional feelings in my heart, it is all sentiment like a child because child's intellectual faculties are not fully developed. Parents, you know, telling, देखते हैं बड़ा होके क्या करेगा. Sometimes you see your child is so devotional. देखते हैं बड़ा होके क्या करेगा. Child's intellectual faculties are not so developed. What's so big deal about it? So he says, existence is absolute truth by the expansion of the potencies one can experience. You can see this kind of humility and this kind of such another pastime which Radhanath Maharaj writes in Journey Home. He says, in Rishikesh or somewhere, this whole conference is there. And many big yogis have come. And only some people get bewildered. Many get bewildered because suddenly there is a conflict among the transcendentalists. Who will take the mic? So that breaks the heart. They are supposed to be transcendentalists. Why they are having conflict on such petty issues? So by the presence of qualities, one can see the existence of the absolute truth. I will just read some of the section of the purport. Although in the previous verse, the power of material senses and mind was rejected, the authorized descriptions given here inform us that one can directly perceive everything that exists to be the potency of personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of his talks in LA, I'll just conclude with that. Srila Prabhupada, one of his talks in LA, I think he's going to New Vrindavan form there, I guess, or maybe he's coming to India. And he says, he's telling everyone that how you are all young and I am old. And then at one point he says, please do not deviate. Please do not deviate. Please preserve this teaching. He says, he's writing also to his God brother. He says, our centers are everywhere. This institution has expanded so much. But now, our biggest challenge is to maintain our status quo. Our biggest challenge is to maintain the standards. He says, please do not deviate. And Srila Prabhupada starts crying. And he says, if you do not deviate, you will remain solid. And with that, Srila Prabhupada ends his talks in Aleph. Anyway, this is a long purport. I had some points to prepare, speak on. Since time is over, I'll just summarize what we discussed. First, we discussed how Brahman manifests in innumerable varieties. And then we discussed how one should submissively hear these authorized descriptions. And then we discussed how insignificant sparks of fire cannot illuminate the blazing fire. And we discussed the example from the Melbourne Prabhupada's conversation in the lecture. And then we also discussed Draupadi's case. Then we discussed Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Hanumanji and Narad Muni having conversation. And then we discuss about the cloud, how sun creates a cloud. Despite the presence of the sun rays, sun cannot be seen. Therefore, ultimately, the power to see the sun depends not on the sun rays, but on the presence of clear sky, which is also an arrangement by the sun. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.